I'm Akron, Ohio. This is episode 166, part two of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are going to talk about our favorite non-scary moments in horror movies. First, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by...
Sir.
And Kyle.
So, Kyle, let's just jump into it.
Yeah.
Non-scary moment in a horror movie.
Yeah. As I'm sure it'll be a shocker to no one, because I was mentioning it at the end of the last episode, but it's from that Castle Rock show that I was talking about.
What?
And
I did not see that coming.
There is an episode basically on it, and I'll try to tiptoe around what actually happens in it, but because it happens pretty much in the middle of the season. But one of the characters does this memory hopping, and it's arguably one of the most plain episodes as far as action goes, but it's done in such a way that is it's really cool, because she'll a big part of about this show is that something happened in Andre Holland's past, and you're kind of being caught up with it slowly throughout the show, but there's like some significant event happened, and his mother is doing this sort of memory hop. And the way it's shot and her reliving these memories of her husband and Andre Holland as a kid. But she's not only reliving them, she's like spectating them, and it's shot just in such a really unique way that it was cool. And it really took the tense moments out of the show, which I guess slowed it down a little bit, but it was a nice, refreshing episode to have in the whole series, because having 10 episodes of just pure tense moments, this mixed it up a bit, and it for episodes like this add to the backstory, and that's a little bit of a theme with my top list, is adding sort of backstory to characters, character development, stuff like that. So yeah, the show overall is really pretty tense and scary, but this episode was well done, and I liked it. So that's my number five. Sir, what would be your number five?
So my number five is from Black Death, which is my third and final kind of crossover.
Overlap.
Yeah, whatever. Overlap of my list over the past few weeks. So 2009's Black Death, there's a great like sword fight, like kind of it's essentially like a mini battle, because it's the group of knights that have to fight like these kind of woodsmen, these like barbarians basically, these non-Anglo people attack them in the woods, and they have to like fight them off. And it's just like really well done. Kind of, it almost feels like, it doesn't feel like a different movie necessarily, yet. It's just a really great action scene in the middle of this, like, kind of like creepy and
that's
really
cool,
like dense film.
Yeah. It's always nice when you're watching something scary, and then you can tell that there's a scene that you're like, there's nothing to be afraid of in this one. They're just having a conversation, or they're doing something else, and it's not stressful.
Nick, what's your number five?
My number five, I'm going with the movie Jaws.
I'm glad I took this off my list.
Okay. I just really like, it's a small moment, but it's the cup crushing moment where Richard Dreyfuss basically, in response to Quint being tough and able to crush something stronger, he looks over and crushes a styrofoam cup, which is somewhat,
it's not that impressive. It's kind of impressive, I guess, but
it would have been more impressive had he just done nothing.
Yeah, or if he would have done it on his forehead.
But it says just so much about this character, and really both of those characters and their dynamics with each other. It's just a funny little moment in this movie that's super terrifying.
Yeah. The scene that I was going to bring up was going to be the scar comparing scene. Okay. I feel like I've
talked about that's a good one too.
It's a good one too.
Yeah. That's a great movie. Kyle, what's your number four?
It's a great movie. going from a great movie to a movie I didn't really like that much, but it has a good scene in it. The remake of Dawn of the Dead, the celebrity shooting on the rooftop. Mostly because Ty Burrell plays this, like, the rare sort of in that movie, and Ving Rhames is in that scene too. Yeah, so it's just, what I like about this scene is that Dawn of the Dead, they're in this mall and they're surrounded by hundreds of zombies, and so they have to make light of the situation, so they have a little bit of fun. And it's a short scene, it's only a couple minutes long. The movie overall is pretty bad, but it's cool when they're like, shoot out Burt Reynolds, rest in peace. But the Burt Reynolds zombie, and it's just a cool, funny sort of moment. And there's another, I guess my next pick is another sort of scene where they just need to make light of a really crappy situation. And so it'll be your number four.
So my number four is, I'm going to go with another kind of action heavy horror movie that I really liked, Bram Stoker's Dracula. And this is just like overall the entire film, mainly the scene though, where they like are trying to capture Dracula and he like turns into a whole powerful of rats. Kind of, I mean, the action scenes in it are probably my favorite thing about the movie, because they take it back to this kind of adventure horror that the book has. Like, the book is very, it's pretty dated, and there's a lot more, especially towards the end, of just like people, you know, riding horses around and with like Bowie knives and, you know, bragging about how they can kill Dracula because they've shot so many Native Americans. A bunch of terrible stuff. It's just like, it's still like, it's an adventure, it's an old school adventure kind of story in a lot of ways. And I think Bram Stoker's Dracula is the only movie that's really captured that ever on screen. Just the action scenes are really great. Nick, what's your number four?
My number four is kind of mild spoilers for Let the Right One In. But it's just the very end of that movie. Basically, there's something that's Morse coded from one character to another through, not really through a wall, but through something else. And it's one of those things that I like, because when you're watching it, you realize that there's communication going on and that there's some kind of connection between these two characters. In the movie, once they do something similar where he asks her a question and she replies to him, I think she's Romanian, and it's not subtitled and he doesn't speak the language, so you don't know what she says. And only later, if you go online and look it up, she basically tells him she loves him. This is a similar situation where what is being Morse coded is the word kiss, apparently. So I like that. I like that moment. It's something that, it's one of those cool things where you appreciate it as it's happening, and then you learn a little bit more, and you're like, "Oh, now I've expanded on my knowledge." It's also kind of a disturbing ending in a lot of ways, but it's kind of nice. It has its ups and downs when you think of everything that's going on, especially when you look more into the background of the vampire character and the history that that character has had through different iterations of the story. Kyle, what is your number three?
Not to compare what's her name's I don't want to offend anybody. My number three is the grocery shopping scene in 28 Days Later, AM 180, the music video, basically, of them turning one of the most like dull everyday things into the happiest moment ever, picking out groceries. And or you watch the scene, and when I first watched the movie, I didn't really like it, just because it was so different from the rest of the movie. It was so much happier, and I don't think I was able to really appreciate what it did in the scope of the movie. But just knowing that when the world, or the, I guess the country, is going to crap, they need to really grasps any sort of happiness. And I don't know, it's a really sort of heartwarming scene when they're just so happy to have real food and not think about what's happened around them. Mm-hmm. So yeah. AM180, I don't really know of any other songs by them.
But so the song is called AM180. The band is the band is Granddaddy.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. I knew it was one or the other, but I don't know any other songs by Granddaddy.
Yeah, I've listened to them a little bit. It's been a while, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, but like for the rest of the music in the movie, it's this intense track by John Murphy. And this is this. It's softer rock, but it's still rock music compared to everything else, and it's cool. So it would be your number three.
So my original number three is now just an honorable mention, and it is from Get Out. There's the greatest, the funniest political commentary on white privilege ever in Get Out, the blind art dealer. It gets me every time. I think to draw off what Kyle's picked, though, so I'm going to pick the shopping scene in the original Dawn of the Dead after they clear out the mall full of zombies.
I knew there was going to be some better moment in the original Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. I just haven't seen it. I knew that because they have fun.
Yeah.
There's like a very fun moment.
And they basically just like run through the mall just taking whatever they want.
Yeah.
And like doing whatever they want, like playing the games in there. So apparently 80s malls had like mink coats, fine gourmet food, gun stores, and like an indoor mini golf, apparently, because I'm pretty sure there's a scene where the one cop is playing something like that, like mini golf or something. And it's really nuts. And just what a fun, just vibrant, out of control scene, considering everything that's happening. And it kind of reflects that they're just... They just have like this huge release, just like running around and like grabbing all this food and stuff.
During a zombie apocalypse, if there's one place you can get stranded, it's got to be the mall.
Especially awesome. The 80s mall.
Yeah. Several stories. And
Nick, what's your number three?
My number three is from, I guess some might argue that this isn't a horror film, but it's so scary that I would consider it a horror film. And I'm going to do my best not to spoil it, but it is from this year's film, Annihilation. And it's basically a moment involving Tessa Thompson. So basically what this movie is about is there is some kind of alien life force type thing that has set up this perimeter. Saying they set it up makes it seem more like regimented an army. Basically this wall that they call the Shimmer just popped up, and it's engulfing this area, but it's getting bigger and bigger, and they've sent a bunch of people in to try to find out what's going on, but nobody's ever come back from the other side. So Natalie Portman, who's the main character, and then a team of other women go in to the Shimmer, and the movie starts with Natalie Portman, and she's come back, and people are asking her about what happened to everyone else, and she doesn't know a lot of the details. So the movie is about discovering what happened to them. And basically just the arc of Tessa Thompson's character in this movie is really interesting for a minor character. She's so good in this small part. And it's also really visually kind of astounding, some of the things that happen. But I don't want to say more just because it's something that should be discovered on its own. But this movie is it's really good. It's haunting. It's really good looking. It's one of my favorite movies of the year.
Nice.
Annihilation or Arrival?
Oh boy.
I know they're pretty different, but they're also kind of similar.
Yeah, they have a lot of similarities. I love
Arrival. Yeah. I've only seen Annihilation once, and I've seen Arrival like 3 times. I need to. It's tough. It's like, I mean, Annihilation's like a sad family drama movie.
I mean,
hidden as the
rival is the rival's pretty happy.
Arrival is also a sad family drama.
Yeah, Arrival kind of wrecks me every time I watch it. Annihilation is more like
action-y. Michael Bay-y?
No, it's not at all. Which is how the trailer made it look. I can't imagine watching the trailer where it's showing like her shooting a gun and going, "Oh, this is
it at all."
This is going to be. I thought the trailer was terrible. This is basically like the Tarkovsky movie Stalker, which if you've seen Stalker,
is a Stalker with like
not Michael Bay.
S.T.A. There's a video game called Stalker, and it's like an anagram of, or not anagram, but abbreviation of something else.
No, this is just the word stalker. That's like the character's job is called a stalker. I guess the best way to compare them is to say like Annihilation is all heart and this is all head in a way. It's not a perfect analogy, but I think it's close enough for me to say I can't choose.
Nice.
Kyle, what is your number two?
My number two is a scene from the new It movie. And it's where all the kids are diving into the barrens. I think that's like the little quarry that they're in. But it's basically all the boys in their underwear jumping into this quarry. And they're all afraid to jump into it. And then Beverly just comes out of nowhere and is just like, "I'll do it." And she just jumps in. And it's like this huge fall. And they're not going to die or anything, but they're all just kind of afraid to do it. And they all jump in and they have this moment of just hanging out and being kids. And once they're done playing in the water, Beverly's laying out and all the boys are just, they have this moment where the camera pans and they're all just like staring at her. And you can tell they're just experiencing puberty for the first time and stuff. And then Ben, who's the bigger kid, I think he's new to the group, and he's talking about the legend of the city. So it has like character development a little bit and just showing off that they're kids. And then it has a little bit of a story development too. And it's one of the fewer quiet moments, but I don't know, with movies nowadays, you don't really expect kid actors to really do very well, but you can tell that the director of this movie just was comfortable enough to have a scene that was just not action at all, just kids being kids, and it was one of the best scenes in the movie, just natural, so it's cool. And the way it ends, it just ends in an eerie way, but not like a terrifying jump scare way. It's just him talking about how the missing kids in the area is just way higher than in any other city in the country. And yeah, it's sets it up real nice. So yeah, that scene from It, which I liked a lot. Who was it on this thread that we were it was Mike talking about on our...
Yeah.
He's like, "I heard it wasn't that scary, so I might check it out." Mike would,
Mike
would need like five pillows to watch it.
Mike,
he's not a huge scary. He's never been a big horror.
We make fun of him. We're gonna start the podcast called Between Two Pillows, where we talk about horror movies because of him, because he
literally hides.
He's very famous for hiding behind pillows while watching. He's been
some scary movies lately too.
Yeah.
This is like a resurgence. Of
I know.
You shouldn't watch any of these.
We need to.
Pillows are getting a workout.
We should have all watched Hereditary together and an episode on that. Is that rentable now?
Yeah, it is.
Ooh. Mm. Well, I'll need to figure out a way to trick Nelly into watching it.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of it.
Sir, what would be your number two?
So my number two is from They Live, John Carpenter.
Wow.
Last time I saw it was at the Cinematheque, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scene, the street preacher scene, just because it's like one of the best short political speeches ever. It's just so on point, and it's like really gritty and straightforward and socialist. It's just like really cool. That's pretty much it. They Live. Listeners, if you're like some of the students from the Cleveland
Institute of Art.
Yeah, Institute of Art. Some of them hadn't seen it. I was like shocked, like that there were people in the crowd who
I hadn't seen it until really recently, actually.
And, yeah, it was It's pretty cool to see it with a new audience. So listeners, if you have not seen They Live, you got to see it.
Yeah, I thought awesome. About putting the prolonged fight scene actually on my list.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could just, you know, you want to just, I mean, that fight scene is the other great non-horror thing about that movie. There's just like a, was it 5-6 minutes long?
I think it might be even longer than that.
It's a fight scene between Keith David and Roddy Piper, and mm-hmm. it's just so great. It's incredibly well acted and just staged, and it's legendary.
Yeah.
Nick, what's your number two?
What is my number two? My number two is from this year's A Quiet Place. Hmm. And basically the plot of this movie, and I think most people have either seen this movie or are familiar with it, but basically Quiet Place is a movie in which all the characters have to be totally quiet because there's some kind of creature that's taken over the earth, and they're blind, but they have a really good sense of hearing, so you need to be quiet or you will die. But the movie is really a metaphor for parenting and how terrifying parenting can be. And I think that's best summed up in one line by the mother character, who apparently has the same name as my daughter. Her name is Evelyn, played by Emily Blunt. She says, "Who are we if we can't protect them? We have to protect them." And that's a line from, I think it's even in the trailer, but it's such a great line. It really sums up the entire emotional core of this movie. And I just really like that moment. There's a lot of other good, very small moments in this movie. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. I really like, Themo and I were talking about this not too long ago, the way they build tension in this movie is so good because it makes it so if you are watching it, you feel the need to be quiet yourself. And I think that's a really cool effect that a movie has on the viewer.
Oh, A Quiet Place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch it in theaters, and Dave gave me a hard time for not loving the crap out of it. And he's like, "Oh, you should have seen it in theaters." And I'm like, "No, I'm not going to risk watching it next to someone chewing their popcorn, like right into my ear."
Yeah,
no, but I did hear stories about people who were like afraid to eat their popcorn mm-hmm. during the movie. And that's really cool too. And also heard that it, once you leave the theaters, it sort of heightens your sense of like your senses.
Yeah.
For like, the
like you're on alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, I think that's so cool.
You know, my favorite quote about it, right?
No.
It can't be on the radio. Oh. Unless we just bleep it out. Just basically that. Well, yeah. Basically, white people love A Quiet Place so much because it's their worst nightmare that they have to shut the up for a minute.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Kyle, what's your number one?
My number one is from a scene in an extra DLC from The Last of Us, and it's called Left Behind. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but in Left Behind, you play as Ellie, and she's hanging out with her one of her best friends named Riley, and it's a lot less horrifying as The Last of Us is, but there is still some zombie interactions and in combat, so I still consider it a horror game. But there's a few scenes with them where you can just tell that they're kids and they need to, I don't know, they're experiencing this really terrible event together. And throughout the game, you're going through these buildings and there's this, I think it's a video game series that Ellie is really into called The Turning. And she, like the whole episode that you're playing, she really wants to play this arcade game, and she finally finds it in one of these stores or whatever, but it's busted because it's the apocalypse has happened. And so Riley takes her aside and says, "You can still play this game." And she has her close her eyes and she's holding on to like the joystick and the buttons, and she like walks her through the game, and you play this game as her, but with your eyes closed, and she's just describing it. It's basically like the most elaborate, and this is going to sound super nerdy, it's like the most elaborate D&D thing ever. And she's like saying, "Oh yeah, you're playing as Angel Knives, and you're playing against this other enemy, and they take out their tail and they like whip it at you, and like it's really detailed and really just sort of a beautiful moment between the two of them, that she's willing to take the time to make her just go through something that she has wanted for so long and she will never be able to experience because the world is basically ending because of this virus that is, or this infection that has happened. So yeah, it's it doesn't, like, as far as gameplay goes, it just boils down to button presses that are timed, but it's a really cool moment between these two characters, and it's a short game, but it goes a really long way to develop their relationship. So it's awesome. Left Behind, probably one of the greatest pieces of DLC tied to a great game that you can play only on PS4. Sorry, sir. Yeah, that's my number one. What about you, sir?
So my number one is pretty random. It's The Amityville Horror, 1979. The one starring Margaret Kidder, James Brolin. There's just this great scene in it where these two, they're like a married couple, and it's like after their kids go to bed, and they're just hanging out, talking to each other, and they smoke a joint. And it's like one of the best acted scenes of just a couple hanging out I think I've ever seen. It's so natural, and like that it's like really remarkable. Like it's something you notice kind of like right away, like wow, like it's really just this very realistic kind of just really stark scene of just two parents,
yeah,
just trying to relax. No idea that their house is haunted yet. They're just trying to chill out, and it's just a really like cool moment. And what is, I think, you know, I didn't see it until probably like 2 years ago or something.
I've never seen it.
I was like, oh, it's a pretty good movie. And a lot of it was like moments like that, that I was like, wow, this is just like very regular and like really well acted. Yeah. That's it. That's my number one. Nick, what's your number one?
My number one, it's from a movie that already came up. It's spoilers for 28 Days Later. But it is, you've seen it.
I've seen this. It's a great movie.
It's the scene where Frank, played by Brendan Gleeson,
the drop,
something happens to him, and he's basically saying goodbye to his daughter, and it's
in an angry way for some reason.
Well, I mean, I for know. A reason. It's just such a sad moment to have to witness.
Yeah, well,
you know what's happening.
It is. Probably the greatest scene, or it's my favorite scene in all of horror movies. Wait, this is... Oh, non-scary horror.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's not scary.
But you do see that transformation, and it goes from him and them just thinking that they're almost at the goal. And, yeah, this little thing.
Yeah, it kind of reinforces, and I thought about, but I talked about The Orphanage so many times on the show, but the very end of The Orphanage too is a similar, it works in a similar way to this moment, and it's that what's often scariest about horror movies isn't that it's scary, it's that it's something that could be devastatingly sad.
Yeah.
And that's what this scene is. It's not scary. You get to see the transformation, which is scary, but the reason it affects you is because it's something that is sad that's happening to these people. And that's the same thing with The Orphanage. The movie is scary and it has ghosts and stuff in it, but the worst thing that can happen is something that isn't ghostly at all. It's just bad things happening in life.
Yeah,
and that's what's messed up about horror movies.
It doesn't help that it happens about 10 feet away from his daughter.
Yeah.
Goodness. And at this point, they only have each other.
Yeah.
And they do a really good job of establishing that early on. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And Brendan Gleeson is just such a good actor.
He's so good.
Oh boy. He is good.
The scene with him shopping, he's like eyeing this bottle of wine or something, and he's like describing it, and he's just like looking around and just like he gets a stack of them. That's awesome.
Yep. So those are our non-scary moments in horror movies. Do you guys have any recommendations? Or no, should we do feedback? Let's do feedback. Mm-hmm. We'll do. This is from listener Paul in the UK, who writes in and says, "Hey guys, it's been a while since I did some feedback on the podcast, but
it's been a while.
It's been a while since I've also." Here are a couple, and of course, they are in no particular order. And these are all bittersweet endings, three different media. So, live action films in no order: Donnie Darko, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, The Graduate, Schindler's List, and The Warriors. Live action TV. I'm assuming just the TV show is a is an entire show. The Wonder Years. I don't know how that ends.
I can't remember either. Yeah.
Quantum Leap. The season 2 ending for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I'm going to have to look that up because I'm not sure which.
I feel like that has to do with the relationship.
I think it's their relationship.
It's when he goes undercover? I don't know.
I think that's what it is.
It has to be that. That's the only like real significant.
Well, there's another one where he has to leave town, but I'll look it up, season 2. The other ones, Black Mirror episode 1, the 5 Million Merits episode, and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And then Western animation, two Futurama episodes, Luck of the Fryrish and Jurassic Bark, which are both similar episodes. Jurassic Bark is...
Is that your favorite episode?
Of that show?
Yeah.
Yes. I would say yes.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up Doctor Who with the scary scenes in non-horror movies with the
Weeping Angels.
Yeah. The only episode I've ever seen.
South Park, You Are Getting Old. Simpsons, The Curse of the Flying Hellfish, which is a great episode of The Simpsons. God,
what a great episode.
And Hey Arnold, The Pigeon Man. Yeah. The Pigeon Man from Hey Arnold.
I kind of remember that a little bit. Yeah. Don't they eventually fly at one point? I don't remember.
I don't know. That's probably on that Nickelodeon Splat or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Is it called Splat?
Well, Hey Arnold's on Hulu.
It is on Hulu.
I don't know how many. Service. No. Doug is on Hulu.
It's too many.
And so is Rugrats. I hear your child yelping.
She's wanting me.
All right. Recommendations.
She's protesting the idea that Nickelodeon has a streaming service.
Yeah. It's all on Hulu anyway.
She's not a fan of Doug.
Recommendations. Kyle, you can go first.
Do you want a Switch game or a PS4 game? Probably Switch game.
Switch.
Right? The Messenger is a cool Switch game. It's basically starts off as a Ninja Gaiden clone, so it's a side-scrolling action platformer where you play as a ninja who needs to deliver the scroll to the top of this mountain, and it's very linear, and you're gaining new abilities as you progress and getting to the top of this mountain. But when you get to the top of the mountain, it turns into this open world game, and this new mechanic opens up where you go through portals, and it starts off as the 16-bit type game, but if you go through Portal, you transform the graphics and music into this 32-bit game. It's a really well done sort of action game for the Switch. Once it opens up, it kind of confuses me because I'm not used to not having any sort of direction, especially with a retro game like this. It's a pretty cool game, and the fact that it's really only for Switch, and I think it might be for Steam, like PC browser. It's really cool. Nice. I'm a big fan of these new sort of pixel games that they're coming out with.
Yeah,
we can make games that look like, I don't know, movies, but now we're just going to take our time and, I don't know, make gameplay the focus, and then make the games look like cool. They came out 20 years ago. Do you have a Switch yet?
No.
Have you thought about?
I haven't really thought about it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I would really use it as the issue. Like, well, I don't really play video games outside of the house. Okay. Like, I'm always doing something else.
Yeah. Mm. So Eva doesn't really...
She's not in the games drawing yet. Something.
Yeah.
She's,
I mean, that's, you know, kind of, that's the, the goal. Like, you don't want, like, her to be a...
Yeah, she's either like reading on her Kindle or she might play a game on a Kindle. Like,
quit reading books and drawing stuff. Play video games and watch movies with me. Sir, what would be your recommendation?
My recommendation this week is the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book from Boom. And it's like all capitals. It's like an exclamation point at the end. I think they're like a Boom. really independent publisher. And yeah, they released this Power Rangers like comic book, and it's not a reboot at all. It just kind of sort of picks up like somewhere in the series. It's like after the Green Ranger arrives, and it's a slightly grittier kind of version of it, where they go to an alternate universe. Like the first story arc is they go to this alternate world where the Green Ranger stayed evil, and it's like it's not quite as gritty and alternate as like Ravi Shankar's Power Rangers short, yet it's still doing a little bit more with the with the image. I mean, it's like giant monsters destroying cities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're not constrained to Saturday morning rules around violence or anything. And it's pretty good. I was really surprised because I thought it would be kind of not. And it's actually like really, really compelling.
What was going on in the comics world related to Batman this past week? I kind of
Comicsgate. I really wish I don't really know.
Okay. I haven't
caught up with it yet.
It was one of those things where, I mean, it was a few days after like the Mario Kart thing happened.
Yeah, which I also haven't.
And I was like, at this point, I'm tapping out. I don't want to be involved.
I know it was compared to Gamergate, and somebody told me it was basically the same thing, only with comics. And I was just like, you know what?
No. I think we were talking about something different.
Do you mean like, I'm talking about Comicsgate, which is like some kind of, I'm.
Oh, no, I don't know what that is. No, apparently something with Batman's, undercarriage being shown in a comic.
I saw a headline.
Yeah. That's why, like, after reading the Mario Kart, like, Toad.
I don't want anything to do with that.
The Mario Kart Toad thing and the president, I was like, yeah, I've kind of had enough.
What is this?
The Mario Kart Toad thing?
I do remember that.
I've also heard shows that I listened to.
Because I commented on your... on your post. Yeah, that was awful.
Their listeners being like, why is this even news?
Don't
like look it up, listeners. Which at this point I'm just like, I don't want to
don't look it up.
Give it more clicks. I don't want to give it more views. It's just not worth it.
I have a screenshot of the quote if you guys want to read it.
Well, Nick, did you hear about
this? It took me a minute to realize what you were talking about. Yeah, I remember the Stormy Daniels thing.
Yeah.
There was something when the tennis game for Switch came out and Luigi's pants were like particularly tight, and you could like see there was like a little curve or something, and people were it blew their minds, and it was news for a couple days, and it's just people are weird about anatomy of Nintendo characters.
Who's looking at this stuff?
I don't know what this Batman thing. The way it was described on the headline, I'm like, how did that even get past?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyways,
it's a brave new world.
It's the internet.
These kids these days and they're anatomically correct Batman.
Yeah. It's not like when we were kids and it was just the thing on the cover of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyways, my recommendation. So I brought this up the other day to you and a couple of our cousins. Bob's Burgers, like Simpsons did this a little bit where they would have occasional episodes of songs, and
Bob's Burgers has a lot of songs.
Bob's Burgers has done it more and more. Or I mean, maybe they've
the closing
always
credits.
Yeah, maybe they've always kind of done it. But they have a lot of songs in their show, and I was rewatching like seasons 6 and 7 recently, and some of the songs, like none of them are good singers. H. John Benjamin is the worst person to ever sing anything. The guy who
more
does
than
Bob.
The guy who does Linda?
Yes. Like he's such a bad singer. but some of the songs are really good. Like if you
I can't find it's nowhere it's not streaming anywhere.
It's on Hulu.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean if you think Hulu. About it like Flight of the Conchords, they're not great singers. They just
disagree.
Their lyrics are good.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're great. Well, yeah, I think they're good.
Yeah, I think. But it's more their lyrics are mm-hmm. good, and it's similar with Bob's Burgers.
Those are good songs.
Bob's, stylings.
Yeah, those are actually good songs though. I feel like the Bob's Burger songs aren't. They're like that's the aesthetic. That's the aesthetic appeal to it.
Yeah.
But. There's a few songs like Electric Love, I think, is a legitimately good song. But there's a song from, I think it's a season 7 episode, and the song is called Bad Things Happen in the Bathroom, and it's a duet between Bob, who accidentally got super glued to a toilet, and Louise, who accidentally super glued him to the toilet. And it's just such a good, like, neither of them can sing. But I was saying, it's one of those things where if they were to, like, put this on Broadway and have actors play these roles, or if a band were to cover these songs or something like that, it could be really, like, legitimately good. And I want to see that happen someday. Like, they have an album.
Broadway.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
They've got Broadway, Spider-Man's. Right. There was a Green Day Broadway show. There's a Mean Girls and a Matilda. Like, we could
it's
do
gonna a happen and it's gonna star Al Pacino, so you're not gonna be able to have anything to do with it.
I'm just saying, we could have a Bob's Burgers Broadway show and it could be great. And it will be.
Starring Al Pacino.
Yeah, starring Al Pacino. It'll be like the last thing he ever does. Oh, no. No, I'm saying like that's
it's
what he's
a direct
he's,
threat.
No, he's Al Pacino. No, he's gonna go out on top. It's gonna be like his shining moment of glory.
Like his retirement thing.
Yeah. Anyways, where can you find us? You can find us online, TV Tropes. You can find us on iTunes and all those places. Write us a review, and it'll make us happy.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter,
Patreon.
Patreon.
All those spaces.
Give us money.
Yeah, hey, we need to make Patreon a little.
You just spruce it up.
Add something to be kind of worth it. I feel like you set it up and you were just.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll figure it out eventually. Yeah. I'm in the midst of trying to figure out like a Redbubble thing to make
whatever that is.
T-shirts or something like that. Redbubble or Threadless or one of those.
I'm for it. Sites. I think people would respond.
Yeah. If people are interested, let us know. Anyways, I'm Nick.
I'm Sir.
And I'm Kyle.
And join us again next week. We'll see you then.
On the trope.